Hey, Leo here for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about my incredible, amazing 2CB trip report, Experiencing Physical Death. Warning, misusing psychedelics can be dangerous and even lethal. The legality of these substances vary by country. The information provided here is for educational purposes only. You agree to take 100% responsibility for any physical, mental, or legal consequences which may result from applying this information. Death is only putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. A quote by Rabindranath Tagore. I want to narrate to you how I experienced physical death on 2CB. 2CB is a recreational psychedelic. It's often used by people at raves and parties, but not in my case. I had a very interesting experience that's quite atypical. If you're a psychonaut and you're researching 2CB because you want to know what a typical trip report is like, well, mine is not your typical trip report because I'm not your typical tripper. I don't trip recreationally. I trip existentially. So you're not going to maybe get what you were looking for here. But on the other hand, if you're a living being whatsoever, then you will find something quite useful and amazing from this trip report, because this really was something rather extraordinary. What is 2CB? 2CB is a class of psychedelics. It's different from the tryptamines, so it's not like DMT or mushrooms, which are tryptamines. This is a phenethylamine, so it's similar to mescaline. And I wanted to try this out because people talk about it as a party drug. People liken it to ecstasy, sort of has similarities to that if you read many of the trip reports. And they say that basically what you get with 2CB is some nice, colorful visuals. You don't get a lot of mindfuck component, which is the component where your mind goes very existential and it really screws with your whole concept of reality. So 2CB is not supposed to have too much of that. And it's supposed to be kind of like light and fun. People take it at parties and they listen to music. It makes music beautiful. It makes visuals beautiful. And that's your typical 2CB trip. So what I decided to do is to try this thing out for myself, as I do. And I took 10 milligrams of 2CB, plugged, which is a rectal administration. And you heard that right. So I took it rectally. So what that means is you take a small, needleless oral syringe, a little syringe that like you use for your dogs or for your cats, and then you mix the powder. 2CB usually comes in a fine powder. You mix it with some water. Very little amount of water is required. It's a very small amount of substance. And then you stick it up your butt and you administer it. And there you go. And now you're ready to trip. Now, 2CB is more commonly administered orally. It works orally. You can just eat it, wash it down with some water. Comes with pills sometimes. I don't recommend taking those because God knows what's in them. And also you can snort it. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to try out 2CB to see what it was like, but also I wanted to test out this method of administration of plugging, because it has a lot of promise. The thing that I like about plugging is that you get the full dose if you administer it properly. Whereas with snorting, you don't often get the full dose. Like with 5-MeO, the dose will get snorted too deeply. It'll go down your throat. It won't get all the way ingested. And so then that leads to questions about how big of a dose did you take. So I like plugging because it's more accurate. Also, it has a very fast come on, and it removes problems of nausea with certain psychedelics. So specifically with 2CB, the problem is that if you eat it orally, you can become nauseous, and I wanted to avoid that. It also avoids problems of sometimes if you have eaten a meal, you can't take a psychedelic because you need to take it on an empty stomach. So here, you bypass all that by plugging it. Also, interesting with the phenethylamines, both 2CB and with mescaline, if you plug this substance, you only need to use about half the dose. That means the dose is twice as powerful plugged as it is orally. So that prolongs your doses by twice. So that's pretty cost effective. So anyways, I plug this thing. It's not as disgusting or painful as it sounds. It's actually very effortless and quite a pleasant method of administration. And then I go and I lie on my couch. And so I'm lying on the couch and waiting for this thing to come on. And I know that it's going to hit me pretty fast because I've read what happens when you plug things. And so I'm expecting it to come on in 5 minutes or so. And sure enough, it does. As I'm laying there, I'm looking up at the ceiling. I'm looking at my hands like this in a sort of introspective manner. And I'm already starting to feel at the 5 minute mark that like something weird is going on. Very subtle, but something weird is going on. I'm almost starting to feel like my hands are not my own anymore. A little bit of like dissociation, but it's very mild. And I'm lying there and I'm starting to feel some weirdness in my body. And this is what they call the body load. It starts to come on. And what the body load is just this sort of like, I would describe it as a numb, almost anesthesia-like feeling in the body where your sense of physical body starts to change in a weird way. Not necessarily unpleasant, but it's just kind of weird. And I would say that your body feels a little bit more heavy and numb than it normally would. And also I noticed that as this body load is coming on, which is becoming stronger and stronger as the trip continues, I noticed a little bit of nausea coming up as well, which took me somewhat by surprise because I don't usually ever get nauseous on trips and because of the plugging method of administration. So what I do is I go and I take a couple of ginger pills. These are just over-the-counter ginger supplement. It's just pure ginger root in a ground-up form as a pill. You can take a gram of this when you're about to trip, and I often do to reduce any potential nausea. So I take that, and that works pretty well for this trip here. I don't really get any nauseous problems going forward. Then I lie back down on the couch, and I'm looking up at the ceiling, and I start to notice the visuals kicking in a little bit. And as far as the visuals, what I'm seeing is a couple of things. First thing I'm noticing is my visual field starts to shift in these waves, almost as though the whole thing is a mirage. But it's subtle. It's not like my whole visual field is getting torn apart. It's just like these waves. But the waves are enough that you start to question, like, what is this thing that we call a visual field at all? Where is it actually occurring in consciousness? But then what is consciousness? And then so that takes you down that whole rabbit hole. So I get these waves. And then at this point, I roll on to the floor off of the couch. And on the floor, I have some blankets and some pillows spread out because I know that tripping on the floor works pretty well for me. So I'm laying there on the floor and I'm looking up, and right above me is this giant round paper lantern. So it's sort of like an oriental paper lantern, except it doesn't really have any colorful designs on it. It's just made out of like wire mesh and then paper wrapped all around it. It's pretty big and circular. It's about 1 meter in diameter like this. And I'm laying there looking up at it, and it's a lamp. It has a light bulb inside, and it's just shining soft yellow light through this paper. So the lamp is there, and I'm looking at that, and the visuals now are coming on even stronger. And so now what I'm noticing is I'm noticing colors, some of the psychedelic colors that are quite common on various psychedelics like mushrooms and LSD. I'm starting to notice some of those. They're not very sharp, though. I would say that they're rather muted. There are some purples and greens and yellows and oranges, and they sort of like come in and out, and that's starting to come on. And the other thing that I notice with visuals is little patterns. So when I'm looking at the paper on my lantern, I'm seeing little curly, swirly, organic shapes, exactly like the kind that you might see on mushrooms. And they're very intricate and kind of ornate. And then these patterns can morph around and move, and they're also hypnotic in that they suck in your attention because they're so beautiful in that the way that they're moving, that you just go into this sort of trance looking at all these colors and waves and patterns. So there I am on the floor experiencing this, and everything's going well. And just to back up for a second, as far as 2CB, when I started this trip, I basically expected that this was going to be a test run. So whenever I do a new psychedelic, I always do a little test run with a small dose. This was a relatively small dose. Nothing dramatic was really supposed to happen. And on top of that, this was supposed to be kind of like a fun, light party psychedelic. So I'm just kind of like enjoying the day, and my mind is not worried about anything. I'm not really expecting anything to happen, and I'm just going on this trip. But what starts to happen is that, to my surprise, I become quite introspective now, looking and staring at this lamp, which is starting to mesmerize me. And my mind feels like it has become this hot, gooey lava lamp, with my thoughts just sort of bubbling away very slowly, like hot molasses. And I start to introspect about various existential questions that have been interesting me for many years, like, what is consciousness? And what is the self? What is life? What is reality? What is Brahman? What is God? And so, as this lava lamp of my mind is bubbling away, I'm going deeper and deeper into this introspection. And at this point, I surrender control of my mental focus, and so I'm not anymore in control of my mind. My mind is guiding itself, or maybe the psychedelic is taking my mind wherever it needs to go, and I just trust it with that. And so off we go. And we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's getting more and more and more profound. And then I look at the clock, and we're 50 minutes in now, and my body now feels anesthetized. It feels pretty numb. Not in any kind of shocking or painful or uncomfortable manner. I'm relatively comfortable, but I am taken a bit by surprise at how much body load 2CB has compared to, say, mushrooms or 5-MeO even, or AL-LAD. But I don't really care. I'm really entranced in this introspection. So one of the things that my mind ultimately settles on is this facet of truth, which I called groundlessness, which is basically when you realize that everything you know in reality is a thing or an object. You could also think of it as a surface, right? Everything you know in reality, especially in the visual field, is a surface. But then you ask yourself, okay, so if we have this surface here, what's the grounding for this surface? It's like, well, there's some other object inside of it or some other surface there behind it. Okay, so then, but then what's grounding that surface? Well, it's another surface. And what's grounding that surface? Well, yet another surface. So we have surfaces grounding surfaces. But then you carry this chain of thinking through to its conclusion, and you realize that it's a never-ending infinite spiral that never ends in anything, out to infinity. See, this is what I call groundlessness. This is like the structure of existence, or the structure of God itself. When I say God, I use that word interchangeably with existence and reality, not a man in the sky. So I'm apprehending this groundlessness. And it's almost as though an extra dimension opens up in my awareness. And in this dimension is all this deep existential stuff, all this wisdom, all these answers and insights. They just come effortlessly when I'm on this 2CB. And this groundlessness, I've experienced it before. It's always profound, though, and it always blows my mind, no matter how many times I experience it. And I'm just going deeper and deeper. I'm getting sucked and mesmerized by it because it's so beautiful and profound. And the beauty of it, now my mind focuses on the beauty of the groundlessness, and I'm just getting overwhelmed and lost and entranced in this beauty. And I'm just getting mesmerized by it more and more and more, and it just consumes me. And at this point, the beauty is becoming so beautiful that it's beyond emotions and beyond tears. The beauty is so deep that it's actually sobering. You can't even cry, it's so beautiful. And I'm just going deeper and deeper, and this is just consuming me. And at this point, I'm thinking to myself, with my last remaining kind of meta-awareness or my sober mind, I'm just thinking, damn, what is going on? This is supposed to be a light party psychedelic. What the hell is this? This is way too deep. I didn't think it was going to go this deep. But I love it, right? I love it because this is kind of like what I'm about. So I love this, and I just go deeper into it. I surrender into it. I don't put up any fight at all. And then pretty soon I'm at the point where my eyes are starting to close, and I'm starting to kind of like get drawn into my body, and my whole body is basically numb. And now something very kind of horrifying occurs with me. And I remember that exact moment where I realize that I just went past the point of no return, and the boundary between real and unreal has broken down, and the boundary between the physical and the non-physical has broken down. And that if I keep going down this path, this means I will physically die. And yet at the same time, it's so beautiful, this groundlessness, that I can't, or I don't even want, I think I could, but I just don't want to break out of it. It's too beautiful. I want to go into the beauty. I want to explore this beauty. And so I surrender even more fully to it. I surrender all my commentary. I surrender all symbolism, because usually I'm commenting on stuff in the back of my mind, sort of taking mental notes for insights that I want to keep for myself, that I want to take out of the trip, maybe that I want to share with you, and so forth. This had to be surrendered because the beauty was so overwhelming that you couldn't symbolize it. It was beyond symbolization. So I let that go. I let the commentary go. I shut off the meta mind. And at this point, I really feel like I'm about to physically die. Now, let me explain this a little bit, because you might be wondering, well, what do you mean by this, Leo? Are you actually physically dying? Is your body dying? Well, here's the thing. When the boundary between the physical and the non-physical is realized to be groundless, there is no more difference between real and unreal. And now, what does your physical body mean? See, when we conventionally talk about the physical body, we make this distinction that, oh yeah, there's a physical body, then there's the mental aspects, there's the psyche, yada, yada, yada. If you physically die, that means like you get shot in the head, and then of course your body dies and you die with it. But see, this entire paradigm doesn't work when you're really conscious. Because when you're really conscious, you see through this paradigm. It's not true. There is no such thing as a physical body. What you identify with as a physical body isn't really physical at all. It's just surfaces within consciousness. These surfaces are ultimately groundless. And when these distinctions break down, your entire sense of reality breaks down. And at this point, when you experience physically dying, you're physically dying. That's how it felt to me. And the reason that was, it was almost self-evident. I think that if, like, you got shot, let's say you got shot in the gut, where you didn't die instantly, but you had, like, maybe 5 minutes left until you bleed out completely and lose consciousness. So if that happened to you, you'd be lying there on the street, let's say, bleeding out. And I think that both your body and your mind would know that you have suffered a fatal wound and that this is the end. There's no recovery from this. And so at this point, your physical body and your mind will start to make preparations. Your body will have a certain reaction, certain chemicals and hormones will start to get released, but then also your mind will start to make preparations. You're going to start to look at your life. You're going to start to get a really clear picture of everything your life was about, what you did, why you did it, any regrets you have. You're facing your maker here, in a sense. So that's what started happening to me. As I was lying there, I didn't have like heart palpitations or anything physically negative happening with my body. It was all rather pleasant. But I think that that's largely because I'm at the point where I've done enough contemplating. I've taken enough trips and had some very powerful trips in the past where I'm sort of open to this stuff now. Whereas I think that a year ago, I certainly would not have been, and I would have certainly done something to break myself out of this trance. I would have moved my body. I would have gone outside. I would have go eaten some food. But here, I really just wanted to go as deep as I could. And I wasn't struggling with it at all. So I'm lying there, and in a second, I'm expecting my physical death. And then I just say, okay, let's do it. I don't care anymore. It's too beautiful. I don't care if I live or die. I don't care if Something wrong happens to my body. I'm just going for it. And so I just went for it. And as I was closing my eyes and about to die, it occurred to me that if someone walked up to me right there in that room with a loaded gun and pointed it at my head, normally, of course, I would be afraid and I wouldn't want to die. But here in this situation, it would not matter. It would make no difference at all. There would be no distinction because I'm already going through the death process. What more could I go through? That was already the ultimate that I could go through. And so that's what happened. It also occurred to me right there, before I died, that I have finally become so open-minded that it's going to kill me. Why am I dying? Because the beauty is overwhelming. The beauty is going to kill me. Why else am I dying? Because my mind has become so metaphysically open, we might say, that it's going to kill me physically. And I had a very clear sense that everything in my life, from when I was a child and I was curious about the world, to when I was in school and I was learning philosophy, to when I went to college and I was studying epistemology and I was doing a lot of contemplation on my own. And then all through now, and then the last 4 years of my life with actualize.org, all this time spent contemplating and talking about all these topics, that all of this, I talk about open-mindedness a lot, right? So that all of this was basically me trying to open my own mind more and more and more and more and more until ultimately it would kill me. Physically kill me. And so here I was. And I was going to let it happen. And I felt pretty good about it because I just had an intuitive sense from my very birth that open-mindedness is the right way to go and that there is no bounds to open-mindedness. There's no such thing as too much. And so here I proved that and I fully surrendered. This was utter surrender, like utter surrender. And what I experienced as I closed my eyes is what I would call a complete ego death. But you have to understand that when we say ego death, and I've used that term before in the past, that there are degrees of it, and that the deepest degree of it is your physical death. So when we say ego death, sometimes it's easy to think of it as like, oh yeah, so that's like a psychological sort of thing. It's not really physical death. But you have to understand, from your point of view, which is the only thing that matters, is your point of view. From your point of view, when you're going through this process, it feels like physical death. That's how serious it feels. It doesn't feel like, oh yeah, you know, I'm all right physically, but like, it's just my mind is doing some weird stuff on some hallucinogens. No. We're way, way, way past that. See, all these distinctions between my mind and hallucinogens and physical reality and mental, all these distinctions have gone out the window. They don't exist. The very fabric of reality, the entire paradigm of reality as you conceive it is gone. Okay? And that's when I close my eyes and I experience this thing. And what I remember, I'm thinking back to it right now, very vividly, is how I died, how I disintegrated. I literally disintegrated, and it was as though all the little molecules and particles of my body went supernova and just exploded out into infinity. It was like I was an ice cube thrown into the ocean, and it just melted and spread throughout the entire ocean. I remember my sense of self going from my head into my heart. And then when it was in my heart, I felt like that was the truest sense of self. And then that just exploded. And I felt like my entire physical existence and my life had come to an end and just completely exploded and everything flipped inside out. And my heart just melted. And then I died out into reality and became one with the very fabric of reality. And that moment of death Like, I remember that exact moment when it happened. There was a very specific point at which I went supernova. And it was like, I have this metaphor in my mind of, imagine a rubber basketball, and then if you take a hook and you hook into that rubber basketball, into its side, and then you just yank it so fast and so hard that the entire thing flips inside out, almost by magic. You just flip, yank and flip that whole thing inside out, so that the inside now becomes the outside, and the outside now becomes the inside. And that's what happened in that moment where I went supernova, is that Leo was gone. Completely gone, as though there was no such thing. Not mentally Leo, not physically Leo. And what was left was just the universe, reality itself. This was by far the most incredible and most positive and most joyful experience that you could possibly imagine. That was the moment of death. And that I had that epiphany, is that death is the greatest thing that can happen to a living creature. Because it feels like after you die, right after you die, and in fact, in that process of dying, for a split second, it's terrifying because you're dying and you have no idea what's coming next. But then, as you fully let go and the death occurs, the next split second, you're so relieved. It's like your entire life was this giant 1,000-pound weight wrapped around your shoulders, just tons and tons of weight. And then all of it was just lifted in a split second. And you realize that you're untouchable and that you're immortal and that nothing could ever disturb you again. It's complete peace. Just utter, utter peace and joy and profundity. The beauty of it is indescribable. And so that was my experience. And I basked in that for I don't know how long. I lost track of time, maybe 5-10 minutes, probably not very long. And then I started coming back. I started to reemerge. But my sense of self was obliterated. My sort of sober meta mind did come back, and it did sort of start to analyze the situation, and it started to wonder, what the fuck is going on? How is it possible? There's no way that this is possible. Did I really just die? How could that be? And I started to just doubt myself, and I'm like, is this an illusion? How is this possible? There's no way. And at the same time, I'm laughing and I'm smiling, because I realized that there's nothing external that's going to come and validate this experience. I mean, I did experience my death. That's what it felt like. And at that point, there are no other people. There is no physical reality. There's nothing to validate you. It's not like, oh yeah, I need a scientist to come tell me that I died. No. When you're in that situation yourself, you don't need a scientist. You are the evidence of it. The death is so goddamn powerful that you cannot mistake it for anything. You know when you're dead, right? This is not something that's like, oh yeah, I'm not sure if I'm really dead. No, it's so fucking overwhelming that it's like, you know you're dead, and then it's so goddamn incredible, it's hard to believe you're dead. And then it's hard to believe it from that perspective, because it's just, it's almost too obvious. So anyways, I'm laying there and trying to analyze all this stuff and to understand it a little bit more, and just kind of basking in the freedom of it. This is radical liberation here. And then I remember feeling proud of the fact that I conquered death. That's how it felt, is that I literally conquered my physical death and that nothing mattered anymore and that nothing could touch me anymore. And in fact, I remember imagining myself getting a round of applause from the whole universe, as though all the sentient beings and creatures and animals and humans that are out there were all standing there and clapping for me, applauding for me for having faced my death. Because this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate thing you can do. And then I felt kind of bad about this, my meta mind, my sober mind was saying, well, isn't it egotistical to be applauding myself for this? But I remembered that story about the Buddha, where they say that when the Buddha awoke, the entire earth shook in recognition of his awakening. And that's what it felt like here. And it was a really profound moment, because the deeper thing that I realized there is that there's nobody but me now as the universe to applaud myself. Who else would applaud myself but me? It's not Leo applauding himself. It's the whole universe, because that's what I am now, because there is no more Leo there at this point. And so I just kind of accept the applause, and I realize that this infinite beauty of God can only be known to God and to nobody else. And this experience of death, this beautiful death, can only be known to you, the one who was alive. No scientist is going to explain it to you. You're going to experience it when you experience it. And that's the only way the universe can experience that, is when that happens, when you go from being finite to being infinite. That's when you experience it. So if you don't allow yourself to bask in that beauty and to congratulate yourself for that, then it'll never happen ever in the universe. Because how else could it, other than through you? It has to happen through you. You're the only thing that's there. You are it. You're the whole thing, and it's you. So even if there was somebody standing outside you, like your friends or maybe your spouse or something, and they wanted to congratulate you for what you just accomplished, conquering death, and they clapped for you, that would also be you. They would be you. They're not separate from you, because now you're them. You're the whole thing. So I accepted my applause and just basked in that. And I was really just dumbfounded by what just occurred, especially on this little measly psychedelic, this little dose that I was just trying out. This was supposed to be just a tester dose. Blew my mind. But overall, it was all very positive. I didn't have any fear or resistance to it pretty much at all. I look at the clock and it's 2 hours now. And very quickly, I've peaked and I've passed the peak. So at this point, the color for visuals, they all subside. My body still feels rather anesthetized and numb. And I lie there for a while just basking in all this. But then finally, I summon the strength to get up on my knees and hands. And I'm on the carpet there in the room on my knees and hands. And the most extraordinary thing happens. I look around. I look at my hands as though I'm entering one of those blue avatars from James Cameron's Avatar. You know, when they first enter those creatures and they're kind of just like experiencing themselves being in this weird alien body. That's what it feels like now to be in my body. Because what happened when I was talking about the basketball getting flipped inside out, what I meant by that is that my entire inner world got annihilated. And as I'm standing here looking at my hands, there's no more inner world of Leo. There's no more Leo's life. It's just like the hands are the universe, looking at itself, feeling itself, and also they're immaterial. So I look at my hands and I realize that there's nothing physical or material about these hands. These hands are just surfaces within a field of consciousness, which is ultimately groundless. And so I'm marveling at my hands, and I look at the coffee table, and then I take my knuckles and I wrap it on the coffee table, and I'm laughing, and I'm just blown away because the substance of my hand is identical to the substance of the coffee table, is identical to the substance in between the hand and the coffee table, which is just air. It's all consciousness. It's all just one substance, consciousness. So I sit there looking around the room like this and just amazed at how my perspective of life got flipped completely inside out and upside down. And I'm getting that sense of being headless. Like I try to be conscious of my head just looking like this, but I can't see my head, and therefore my head literally does not exist. And it's like I'm the universe with no head, but with just hands looking around the room. I actually am the room, not just looking around the room. It's like I'm the inside of that basketball being itself. And then from this point on, the rest of my trip was rather unremarkable. This was only 2 hours in, but the trip still kept going for a good 6 hours after this. It's just that there was no fancy visuals and no really deep stuff because I already went through the deepest thing I could possibly go through. And so the rest of the trip I spend walking outside a little bit on the grass, looking at people and dogs as they're being walked. I'm walking around kind of like a numbed out zombie, like a man who just came back from the dead. And I just have this kind of stare as I'm walking and just kind of like looking at everything as though for the first time in my life. And just contemplating the significance of what I experienced. And then I come back inside and I meditate and I just ponder some more and let the effects of the 2CB fizzle out. It took a long time. Actually, I could still feel lingering effects, especially in my head, this kind of buzz, for almost a full 12 hours from the beginning of my trip. And then I went to bed, and that's it. So, what are the lessons here for you? The lessons if you're tripping, but also the lessons if you're doing consciousness work or you're interested in non-duality. Well, firstly, about party drugs. This notion of party drugs is a really silly notion. They can be just as deep as anything else. They can be just as deep as 5-MeO-DMT. Because, well, one of the things I realized is that it's not the substance or even the size of the dose that really determines the depth of your trip. It's your preparation. It's your intent. It's how serious you are. It's how existential you're willing to get. It's how much of a foundation you've laid. It's how much you've contemplated and self-inquired. And I've been doing this, especially over the last month, a lot, starting with my solo retreat, which I did about a month ago. So that built up a lot of mindfulness in me, made some shifts. But then also I've been cleaning up my diet. Lately, I've been eating very healthy, just a plant-based diet. So I think that contributed. I was also doing neurofeedback brain training. I was meditating a lot, contemplating a lot. So all these things now synergize, plus all the prior trips that I took. And I took some very deep and powerful trips in the past with 5-MeO. All of that is now synergizing and is what made this party drug, this little party drug, so powerful. Another important insight that I got for tripping is that I realized that trips are not just independent episodes. I used to think of trips more like sitcom episodes, where each episode ends basically where it started, and it's a self-contained thing. And now what I'm seeing is I'm seeing an arc, a trajectory of my trips, which is really the hero's journey. It's a progression. It's a spiritual progression towards the ultimate truth. And what that involves, if I think back to my earliest trips a year ago, what that involves is that it first starts with you just getting familiar with how psychedelics affect your body and your visual field. But then it goes deeper. You start to get into your inner demons. You start to get into your deepest fears. You start to get into very deep insights. For the first time, you see some of these insights. They shock you. You can't even make sense of them. So you need to experience them again and again to see them more up close for what they really are, to fully understand them. So I notice that there's this arc. I specifically see that arc because there were a couple of key trips that were quite significant, which have led me to this particular trip that I had now, where I was able to experience this physical death, this ultimate surrender. This surrender was much, much deeper than any surrenders that I've done in the past, even on 5-MeO. And I think that that's because I had to build up to it. I had to practice and surrender ever deeper on all these different trips. And I had to face fears. So one of the most important fears I had to face was the fear of insanity, which I faced on mushrooms, and that was my toughest trip. Because if I didn't face that fear of insanity, there was no way that I could do this physical death surrender here in this trip. And also, of course, I had to come in contact with absolute infinity, which I did on my breakthrough 5-MeO trip. That was very important, because if I hadn't had that as a foundation for this trip, then I wouldn't be able to go as deeply into the beauty of it and let it overwhelm me because I would be seeing it only for the first time. The first time you see it is so shocking that you're not really able to go deeply into it. So let that be a lesson to you. If you're using psychedelics for spiritual work, expect that there's going to be an arc. Expect that you're going to need to work through stuff, and that as you keep doing that, you're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and that smaller and smaller doses of substances will be required to take you very deep. Another lesson I learned is that enlightenment equals physical death. When you see some enlightened yogi or master sitting up there on his little cushion, lecturing to you at a satsang or something, and you look in his eyes and he has that sparkling look in his eyes, that enlightened look, you know what that is? What I realized? That's the look of someone who's dead inside. Enlightenment is a lot more radical than you think when you first get on this path. You think that it's like, oh yeah, my sense of self is going to change, like maybe I'm going to experience some psychological death. No, you're going to experience physical death. You're going to be fucking dead. Did you really expect that you would become immortal without dying? Immortality is what dawns when you physically die. Now, of course, to the outside observer, you're going to have a body. Just like that enlightened master has a body. To you, it looks like he's just pretty normal, right? But inside, he's fucking dead. There's no him inside. He has become the whole universe. That's what's so magical and mind-blowing about enlightenment. It is your physical death, because the boundary between the physical and non-physical will disappear for you. It will have no meaning for you whatsoever. Another insight that I had, which was very important for me personally, is that physical death is the best thing that could ever possibly happen to you. I used to not look forward to my death, even though I would contemplate it. In fact, I would think of my death as like, man, my death is coming soon. I better get a bunch of shit done before I die, because that's going to be the end. And while that's still true, I still want to get a bunch of shit done before I die, because it will be the end of doing shit. But my attitude towards death has changed completely. It's just such a positive thing in my mind now that I'm almost looking forward to it. It's going to be a fireworks show. It's incredible. Another lesson that I learned is that there are degrees of surrender. Many degrees of surrender. And what I thought was me fully surrendering in the past was not the case. There are a lot of hidden, latent fears that you have that keep you from fully surrendering. And you got to face those. You got to purify those in order to surrender more and more deeply. And as you do, you'll experience deeper and deeper degrees of ego death. And that's the final lesson that I learned, is that there are many degrees of ego death. I've used the term ego death in the past to describe various experiences that I've had, and I think that those were accurate and generally true. But still, those mostly felt like psychological ego deaths, whereas this one felt more physical, more total. And that was a level of depth that conceptually I knew that was probably what enlightenment was. But also, you know, it's just so different when you actually go through it yourself and you experience actual death. Like, I mean, it feels like the rock bottom. Maybe there's even deeper levels. I don't know what I'll experience in the future. But this sure felt really goddamn deep. And that's it. Those are my lessons. Am I enlightened? No. A few hours after my peak, my ego mind basically came back, as was expected, as you should expect with psychedelics. When you're at your peak, it feels like you're enlightened forever, and that there's no way you can ever forget this or it'll ever go away. There's no way your old ego mind will come back, but usually I find that it does. Not to say that that's always going to be the case. I mean, if you trip a lot like this, I'm sure that at some point it might stick and become permanent. I don't know. That remains to be proven. Now, some people criticize psychedelics for this and say, well, Leo, so all this is just delusion and hallucinations, because what good are your psychedelics if all they do is they give you a little window into enlightenment, a couple of hour window? What good is that? Well, try it for yourself and see. Psychedelics give you a window. Yeah, that's all they do is they open the portal, the gateway, for a few hours, and that's enough to create some huge shifts in you. That doesn't mean you stop doing your work. You continue doing your work even more after that. Now you really know why you're going for it, and you really know what you're going for, and you realize the full ramifications of what you're going for. It's very sobering. And it grows you a lot. Huge growth comes from that. If you're meditating, you will also have experiences in your meditation career where you have these openings. These openings could last for a few hours, for a few days, but then they close back down. That's your consciousness kind of expanding, contracting, expanding, contracting. That's completely normal. It would be silly to go to a meditation retreat to have a window of opening for a few hours, then it closes, and then you say to yourself, oh, well, yeah, so meditation is all pointless. This retreat was all stupid just because the thing opened for a little bit and then it closed. No, that's how it goes. That's how it's supposed to be. It would be way too good to be true if you just took this pill and then it opened you forever. That would be way too easy. You got a lot of inner shit to work through before that can happen. See? It's not enough to just see the truth. The truth is so massive and so fucking deep and profound and has so many facets and components to it that you need to keep looking at it over and over and over again before it really penetrates through into your mind and into your actions and behaviors. Sometimes, for some people, very rarely, one in a billion times, you can have a sort of instant enlightenment, but that's very rare. Very rare, even with meditation and with self-inquiry. Usually, it's this process of opening up, closing back down, struggling to open up again, closing back down. It's this kind of back and forth struggle until finally you do that enough times, you purify yourself enough that something finally breaks and your mind cracks open forever. That's the ultimate goal, but you can't count on that to happen in one split second without any effort. So I experienced huge growth here. My whole relationship to death has completely changed, and I'm really stoked about it. That's my whole trip. I actually wrote this trip up in a lot of detail, many paragraphs on my computer as a trip report, because there's a lot of details that I thought would be difficult to communicate here in a video format. I still don't know if I'm satisfied with that trip report. I might publish it. If I do, there will be a link down below that you can click if you want to read all the gory details. And if not, don't worry about it because I actually did manage to capture a lot of pretty much everything important in this video. So you're not missing much here. All right, that's it. I'm out of here. Please click the like button for me and then come check out actualize.org, my website, sign up to the newsletter, see the forum, check out various resources that I have for you, some exclusive content there, the book list, the life purpose course, the blog, and stick with me for more amazing content in the future.